We live in an age where an increasing number of people are unchurched. And as a result, the number of people unchurched have created a huge ignorance factor, not just in this country, but around the world. There are far more people, for example, in the former Soviet Union or in countries that are run by communist governments who adhere to atheism, far fewer people that actually believe in God. And so we want to explore the challenge there is by what the world would be like if there is no God. Because if we face the reality that there is a God and what the factors are that go into it, people's idea of if there is no God, championed by my atheist uncle, who repeatedly tries to send me mocking things about conflicts in mainstream Christianity, which I openly acknowledge there are many conflicts because they're anti-biblical. But if there is no God, then there's really complicates the lack of logic for people. So if we take a look at the first example, if there is no God, we take a look at the Ten Commandments. If we got rid of the Ten Commandments, and we can read them in Exodus 20 or Deuteronomy 5, and we just said, you know, let's just get rid of those, if there is no God, there can't be any legitimate Ten Commandments. So therefore, no other gods before God. Well, we can do whatever we want. Don't make any graven image. We can make any images we want. We can use God's name in vain, because after all, if there is no God, it doesn't matter anyway. And Sabbath, that's just something made up by some other people. And then we go down the line, blessing parents. There are fewer and fewer people having babies in the last generation. A number of countries are below their sustaining rate. You have to have more people, the same or more people born than there are dying. And so if that isn't true, then a country shrinks its population. Japan and many other countries and China, their populations are shrinking and they're getting older because fewer young people are coming along. So honoring parents, not all that important. Faithfulness, the number of families that are having children out of wedlock now are dramatic. I think it's 70% in Sweden are children out of wedlock. It approaches 40% in many parts of the United States and other parts of the world because they don't believe in marriage. Because after all, just do whatever you feel like and then whatever consequence hits. The same thing with stealing. We have an expectation that we're safe and sound in the property, in our own property, but that's not like that in many parts of the world. And if you've been to other parts of the world, you can see they put up walls around their property to slow the burglars down. And they put spikes on top of the walls to keep the burglars from climbing over the walls without making it difficult. They park their cars within locked spaces rather than let them on the street where they lose batteries, wheels, hubcaps, and anything else that could be removed, and so forth. If stealing were no big deal, it's just whatever you can get away with. And you go down the line with false witness. Well, that's no big deal. We'll do whatever we can get away with, right? You can go to court and spin all the stories you want. No consequence for that. Or wanting other people's stuff and coveting. So what? If there's no God, it doesn't matter anyway. You can want every other stuff from other people. Well, if there's no Ten Commandments, can you imagine how even more havoc would be wreaked in life if the Ten Commandments were not there? Even though we don't they are not fully followed. At least we have a pattern for them in many cases, at least in our lives, in our country. If there's no God, there's no purpose for life. In fact, life isn't respected in many parts of the world. So the abortion rates are very high because, so what does it matter? It's all about me and not about any higher calling. After all, I'm a good person, so what? Or people that profess to be Christians. We read in 1 Corinthians 15:19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men the most miserable. In other words, I just have to be good here and now, but I don't worry about anything other than that. Very short-term, short-sighted thinking. After all, when you're dead, and that's it. And a surprising number of people who still believe in the heaven-hell paradigm, that when you die, you're either going to float up on clouds in heaven, or you're going to go down to an everlasting burning hellfire, which is really a subject we'll take at another time. If there's no God, your body is not the temple of God. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, we read, our bodies are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in us. God gives us a body to haul our brain around to make good decisions, and the Spirit of God will help us to make those decisions. But if we defile the temple of God, what happens? Destruction. God will destroy him. Actually, we destroy ourselves. Temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So we have to take care of what we were given. We saw the last picture of a baby. What if we don't take care of ourselves? You know, somebody else had to take care of us when we were little. We have to take care of our bodies and look after what it does, what it takes, because that body has to haul the brain around that has to learn to make good decisions. So, and the word holy, of course, means set apart for a special purpose. So if our body is the temple of God and it's set aside for a special purpose, what is that special purpose? And of course, we will learn as we read through God's word that it's becoming members of God's family. If there's no God, there's no value or basis for values apart from the knowledge of God. Now, if we read the Mayflower Compact, the first governmental document that was on the North American continent when the English came to America at Plymouth Rock in Massachusetts, what is now Massachusetts, they acknowledged the existence of God, and were thankful that God provided for their welfare and their safety. And from that basis, they said, we will establish order and authority to grow that knowledge of God. Now, if there's no God, by default, an atheist has to believe in evolution. It's not an option because things just happened somehow, some way. And you can tell them that, well, if you have a fine Swiss watch, and one of my daughter's father-in-law lives in England, and he works on watches and clocks and rebuilds these expensive grandfather-type clocks, somebody made them in the first place. If those things were made, how much more so the intricacy of the human body and the intricacy of nature that surrounds us that had to have come from a maker of some sort. So if we believe in just accidents occurred, then we're saying there is no God. And Psalm 14, verse 1 summarizes it very well. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. If there's no God, then the consistent natural laws of the universe have no lawgiver. How many people here think that they can change the law of gravity by disagreeing with it? Ever give that a try? Whether it's doing like I did as a kid and jumping off the roof and discovering gravity myself in a severe way, how the ground came up and hit me. It was so rude. Or going down the steps much faster than you did coming up the steps. We learn gravity. What about inertia? Ever get hit by a snowball? Oh, this is in the South. You may not. I mean, if you take a look at all of those things, or the belt of Orion, if we take a look in the southern sky and we see the Orion is the constellation, which is a Greek soldier as they imagined it to be. And there's no basis for them to be in relationship to one another. No reason that comets should come and go on a regular basis. No reason that the planet should go around the sun on a regular basis. We refer to that every time we have a birthday that we have made another trip around the sun. And so if there's no natural laws that have a natural lawgiver, can you imagine? What if, no, we don't have inertia today, maybe tomorrow. Gravity, yeah, I think that's coming in next week. You know, if it highly be variable, you know, it makes no absolutely no sense. But we have consistent natural laws in the universe. We were talking earlier about electricity. Electricity was a marvelous thing. We use it every day. Now, here, parts of the world don't have electricity, but we do. If there's no God, then the atheist has to accept abortion upon a band of unborn children, even post-birth abortion, which is another way of saying infanticide. You know what? Hey, we got too many. I think we'll just kill off a few kids. That's perfectly acceptable because there's no Ten Commandments. You do whatever you want. There's no basis for values. And what are the values that God has said, what he hates? In Psalm 16, verses 16 through 19, six things he actually says, seven are an abomination, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart devising wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. But if none of those apply and there's no God and the Bible is just meaningless stuff, what will happen to your relationship with your neighbors and the rest of society? Is infanticide will be just a small thing because you do whatever you feel. If there's no God, there's no institutional means to pass along positive values to the next generation. Then we get to this idea of moral equivalency. So Gaia worship or pantheism worship, which is earth worship. I think Earth Day started, about 1970, something like that, ironically or coincidentally on Nikolai Lenin's birthday. In other words, let's do earth worship. But what does God's word say in Deuteronomy 6:6? That these words which I command you shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. An institutional method of passing along God's expectations, how the world is designed to be taught. Then, in Numbers 14, in verse 18, we read that the Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but he by no means clears the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers to the children of the third and fourth generation. So when people mess up, what happens? To their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren, they pay the price. If people mess up and go counter to what God wants, not saying it happens every time, all the time, but it's pretty common that things get messed up, the problems get passed down generations. If there's no God, then mankind is just another type of animal. But most of us know that a squid or a rat is not equivalent to a human being. They don't have the same potential to be in God's family. Now, there are people that think that animals and humans are all the same plane, and that if there is no God, therefore, animals and humans, regardless of whatever, in fact, there's entire religions of that around the world, where you can't kill a cow because that could be the resident of some human spirit from time gone past. But we know better, that mankind is not just another animal. But if you're an atheist, that's the way it is. It has to be that way. If there's no God, there's no eternal hope for mankind. We've read 1 Corinthians 15:19 about how miserable people are in their own heart if there's no life hereafter, if they don't see, have a vision beyond this life. It's like, is that all there is? You know, it's this enormous disappointment. In Ecclesiastes 9:14-15, and we often will refer to this at a funeral, Ecclesiastes 9:14-15, as for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, he flourishes, for the wind passes over it and it's gone, and its place remembers it no more. We have seasons. Grass grows in the spring, very heartily in the summer, and in the fall, the frost comes, and it turns brown and disintegrates and dies. Men are like grass. We all have a time, a certain amount of time, and that time draws short for all of us. In John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. That drawing part, we respond to the call of God. In 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering or patient toward us, not willing any should perish, but all should come to repentance. In other words, there's hope for mankind because we know there is a God. Now, in Matthew 6:24, we have a choice. We can either believe in the hope for mankind by believing in God. But in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters, for either will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. That's really the same principle as Amos 3:3. Can two walk together unless they be agreed? Can you imagine two people hostile to each other, walking down the path in life, holding hands? What's the chances of that? Each having different ideas as to their destiny, what their hope for mankind is. We can take a look at Psalm 53. Verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable iniquity. There is none who does good. In other words, the people who say there is no God, they're not doing good. They're full of sin, and they're corrupt. Galatians 5:13-20 lists the works of the flesh. This is what people do absent the knowledge or following God. We're told in Deuteronomy 30:19 to make a choice. And we all have choices, and this choice is every day. In Deuteronomy 30:19, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. Well, a lot of people are by default choosing in cultures around the world, and an increasing number in the U.S., USA, that, well, I don't believe in God, therefore, I'm fine. I made it yesterday. I made it today. Everything will be fine tomorrow. But what happens to them? What's their destiny? This is all it. Even if they do well, they are the most miserable because they know their time runs short and there's no hope or opportunity for a life beyond the present. And there's no expectation of consistency in this world, because after all, people can do whatever they will. If there is no God, there's no code of ethics like the Ten Commandments. So, for hope for mankind, we have to take a look how God's law demonstrate his design of the universe, and in the heart of that demonstration, is the purpose of God to bring us all into his family.